Okay, at this point, if you were one of the missionaries that went overseas this summer on summer harvest, I believe there were 50 people that went out to 30 cities total. So if you're one of them, just step up right now and let's get on the stage. Just everyone, the whole team, each team, New Zealand, there we go, Cambodia, all of them. So awesome. Let's give them a hand. Great. Let's get the. You can assemble in your armies right here. That's great. Okay, great. Look at the New Zealand crew. I'm told they learned the Elvish language from, what's the movie? The Lord of the Rings. So that's awesome. Okay, how many went to Europe? Just, okay, awesome. And then Asia, these guys here, and then New Zealand. So how about the maybe like the team leaders, you know, the some of the guys. Let's start with Pat Orsi, just a brief. There we go. We'll get to them, but we want to start with you right there. Just what happened, and okay, he's the younger appointed team leader. Let's welcome Micah. Come on.
Okay, so nine of us went to New Zealand, and it was awesome. We had an amazing time there, and God was with us. And it was incredible to see how faithful God was to us, just in the details of places to stay, like the financial side of it. We cooked at our house and made food. Like, we basically rented a house, so we were just cooking grocery, you know, we went grocery shopping. And one of the details that I just loved how faithful God was in the details was like just gas money. We were worried because we were planning on driving a lot. We drove all over the Northern Island, like all these towns and cities and places, and everywhere we went, we were sharing the gospel with people, and people got saved and received Christ as their savior. It was awesome just to see it and to be part of it. And I guess one story that was just been on my heart was cool. One of the days, me and Liz were looking up for a place to stay, because we only had a place to stay for 1 week, and we were staying there for 2 weeks. So it was like the 1 week was almost up, and we were trying to get a place, and we kept getting shut down. Like, we were like emailing people and trying to figure it out. So we were like, we're not gonna have a place to sleep. And so we were just, the whole day was just kind of like the details. We were like emailing and figuring stuff out, and they were on the streets evangelizing, so they were kind of like having fun. And you know, it's like, dang, we have to like take care of this stuff. But so like, just we found a place, which was awesome. You know, that was God. And then later that day, we like went to the place, and I was just kind of praying, like, hopefully tomorrow, like, we can go on the streets and evangelize, and you know, that's why we're here. Like, I don't want to just be wrapped up in all this stuff the whole time. But God answered that prayer sooner. You know, I wanted it to be the next day, but that night we ended up going to the beach, and it was like a sunset, so we were out on the beach, and there was three girls there, and we ended up like going and hanging out with them and talking to them. And I had my guitar, and Liz played the SpongeBob SquarePants theme song for them, so they're like cracking up, and it just kind of like brought their walls down, you know. And it was just awesome when we shared Wilson Lippi's bracelets with them, with the whole gospel, and just planting seeds and sowing seeds, and they loved it, and it was amazing. So that was just one, you know, it was cool. Thank you.
Okay. What about, awesome. That's a honeymoon right there, New Zealand. That's, then what about one of the young ladies, maybe that went to Europe or Serbia or Serbia or Serbia? Do you just any.
So there was a group of us, and we were in Romania for a little over a week, and we were at the church camp in Vlahitsa, in Harghita, which is like a Hungarian-speaking town in Romania. And then the next week we went to Serbia, and I was only there in Serbia for a week after that, but Rachel and Mallory actually ended up staying for a while. And we had a lot of the Romanian guys come. and David from Poland came. And after I left, I actually heard that he led two people to Christ, like individually. Like, it was crazy. Because when we were evangelizing in Serbia, like, the people were very closed off. And a lot of times, like, it seemed like they just wanted to debate, you know, like why, like, me and this other guy were talking to this one vendor, and, like, we were like, why, like, what do you think the purpose of life is? And he was like, to make money, you know. We were like, and, like, that was, like, the first time I actually ever heard that, so that was, like, I was, like, shocked. But then, I don't know, like, some of the team members really had, like, a heart. And like Rachel would do, like, specific evangelism to, like, there were so many street artists, and, like, she would just sit with them and talk with them, and, like, it was incredible. Like, we got, like, a lot of reception from that. And Pastor Tomasz was amazing. He moved in at, like, 6 p.m. with his family, and then we arrived at, like, 1 in the morning, like, in the house that they had just moved into, and they had, like, set up everything, and they were, like, giving us breakfast the next day. And their kids were, like, singing us a good morning. It was crazy. Like, they were amazing. And, like, Pastor Dragon was showing us around. And it was, like, I'm excited to see what's going to happen, because that's, like, a very young church. But, like, we've already made some contacts. So, like, maybe we'll have some Serbian people coming to Bible college in a couple of years or so.
Let's do it. To one more. There was Cambodia. They got great testimonies, Pastor Doug, but I'm not calling you because you've had your chance. He's moving there next year. Some amazing. It'll be a great open thing. But let's, you know, keep it in the family from one of the youngest team members, and just tell us what happened in Northern Ireland.
We went to the real Ireland and Northern Ireland. Just a joke between us. So my take, and I share this in Berlin as well, is we really experience what Psalm 133 says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, and how that ointment of the anointing coming down on the team. And how wherever we went, we had this amazing unity, which is pretty amazing considering the characters we had on our team. But we had amazing unity, and we saw God moving in all these different places, and just God commanding a blessing. And we had the blessing of going to two places. One that really wants a church, or actually two places like that. But we went to Heidelberg, and they are bugging Paul to move there and start his church or be the pastor there. And also, we went to a church that doesn't get visited very much in Chester, England. And just to see the body be so blessed that we came and to be able to share in the service and stuff. But it was just seeing God move in all these ways, you know, whether it was evangelism, which we did almost every day. And it was just a blessing to see God move in unity in a diverse team.
Awesome. How about one of the maybe the young people from the youth? Yeah, David Castro. Castro, are you there? Great. Let's give it up for Castro.
So yeah, we had a cool, really young group go to Romania. That was a lot of fun. I went a little bit earlier, and then I met them there. That was an adventure. Really, the whole experience was just like a lot of opening and closing doors, lots of them, like all around, everywhere you looked. And they all, of course, opened and closed in the right directions. And sometimes, like, you know, you go and you get scared. You're like, this can't be the right thing to do. But then, of course, God's always faithful. And it was amazing how it turned out. Like, the things that happened there were life-changing. The messages, oh my gosh. Just always hearing that, like, God's love, just like getting that pounding into your head, and that he's always there no matter what. And that was, like, through a lot of the messages. And, yeah, it was just an amazing experience. The church there is so awesome. Not a lot of young people. Yeah. We changed that, of course, when we went. We brought like 10 young, like 10 teenagers. It was so fun. But yeah, it was just a great experience. I was really honored to be able to be a part of it. And yeah.
Aren't they awesome? All right. Thank you. God bless you guys. That's great. Great. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. We could have heard more, right? Shall we? Let's see. Who was here? We're going to pray for Pastor Fred. He's going to go to India. Who was up here on the... How about if we had... Lord, help me. Let's see. How about Angina? You want to come back up here? Okay, Angina. Then Ryan Green, how about him? All right, Ryan, you want to come back up here? Okay, then Chad Brackmeyer. How about Chad? Okay. Did we cover... And then there was, let's see, Nathan from China. Where did you go? Did you go back to China? You went to China, right? Okay. Do you want to come up? Okay. Then there was, how about Chris Stein, who went to New Zealand? I don't know. Is that going to be too much or no? Chris Stein, can you handle that? Where is she? Okay, so before we do, let's pray for Pastor Fred. So he goes to India through to Christmas time. Is Christmas here or over there?
It's going to be over there.
Christmas is over there. Is the New Year's here?
New Year's is here.
But so between Christmas and New Year's, he comes back. Okay. So why are you going away for so long? Okay. Would you pray with me right now? Father, we pray for Pastor Fred and his mission, your mission, your hand. Bless Leah. Bless all details. Bless the ministry. Bless the word, where he lives, what he does every day. Be with him in every way. Thank you for his ministry of faith. For things to happen through his footsteps of faith, blessing the body there and helping him. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. I love you. Thank you. Okay, so you have not only, yeah, you have the pulpit, but don't let it give you the idea that it'll be...
I won't see him.
Okay, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I was part of Pastor Gary's summer harvest, but I had to join them a little late because I worked this summer. So I joined them in Belgium and then went on to Germany. And I didn't know anything about either one of these countries, so I didn't really know what to expect. When I did get to Belgium, I was surprised about just the atmosphere that was there. I didn't know what to expect, but I found it to be a bit oppressed, a bit dark, and I was surprised by that. But at the same time, when you stopped and talked to the people who lived there, they were willing to talk to you, and they would be very open about the things that are going on in their lives. So just one particular testimony, we were at a train subway station and waiting for others to meet up with us. And so everyone just kind of wandered apart from each other and were talking to people. And I spoke to this one young woman. She told me she was 36. I would have guessed quite a bit older, But she had a lot of fear, a lot of, you could see how scared she was. It was written on her face. You could see how empty her eyes were. And as we spoke, she was hungry to hear what I had to say. And at the end of our time together, I had to leave because the group was leaving, so it was cut kind of short. So I never got the chance to actually, you know, say a sinner's prayer with her. But by the end of our conversation, she was accepting Jesus, and her countenance had totally changed, and that empty deadness in her eyes was gone. And I don't know her heart, only God knows her heart, but something happened to this young woman named Elizabeth that day in the train station. Yeah.
I went to Romania with Pastor Love, and it was really amazing. We went to two different churches in Bucharest and Brasov, and every night in Bucharest, we went to this park to do evangelism and with basketball. And on the first night, it was really amazing because like 7 or 8 of the kids got saved, and it really touched me. And through the whole trip, I just remembered that, and that really stuck with me over everything else. And it was just really amazing that so many people could get saved at one time. And yeah, that was really my favorite part.
Well, with Pastor Doug Pearson and Philip, we went to Cambodia, and we were there a month. And just one thing in particular, there's been a lot of testimonies shared about it already, but just the hunger there. We talked about the word like not falling to the ground this morning, and we just saw a hunger there that was just so unreal, and it was so refreshing for the team. We had that unity, we had that love in our hearts, and to come to a people that were so hungry for the word and to see it like take roots and grow and really change things in their life in that short time that we were there was just phenomenal to witness and see. But this man named Jonathan, he was a contact made by Pastor Ryan in the Ma Chai Church in Thailand. And Jonathan, he's just a young guy and in a Bible college. His father's a pastor in just a village not too far from Phnom Penh. And he came and visited us, and just he was like the main contact, opening up the door to Cambodia, telling us all about the culture, where to go, where not to go. And it was just amazing sitting down with Jonathan because we saw in his heart, like God was doing something. Each word that was being invested in the Bible college he was attending, like it was taking root. And he shared a story with us about how he was helping in a worship band at a church. And as he was sitting in the church, he was hearing the message, and he was hearing wrong doctrine. And he said, "This is wrong. I can't be here. This is not what the Word of God says. I have to make a decision. I have to leave here." And he was like the worship leader. And he made that decision, and God blessed it. And he just shared so many stories of just God working in his life and the word, like giving him clarity to take steps and really take a stand for the truth and the life that we see through the Bible. And I was just thinking for Cambodia, it's like 1 Samuel 3, where it's the word of the Lord is just precious there. And like there's so many hearing the call of God, so many searching for God, and there's not an Eli to tell them, like, this is God speaking to you. This is God that is saying, there's an amazing thing happening in this country, and the word of God won't fall on the ground there. There's just fertile soil, and I just pray that if missions is on your heart, Asia is the place to go. I'm sure Nathan will agree with you too. So please just pray for Cambodia, pray for these people, and pray for Doug and Bethany as they prepare, and just that way is just made so clear, and just the provisions there, all the details taken care of, because they need a greater grace church there. They need Bible colleges there, and they just need the word of God. So thanks.
This summer, I and Pastor Dennis White went to China and have a summer harvest tree for 2 weeks. 24 people from my city, Tianjin and Kunming, went to this trip. And we went to four different cities, Taiyuan, Wuhan, Chongqing, Chengdu. And they are really hot in this city. They are the most hot city in China. So we went there and we do soul winning every day on the street, in the park. And we also made some contact and church fellowship in different cities. And this is my first time to go to non-Great Grace Church in China. So in many cities and in many fellowship and church in those cities, I'm so surprised by their doctrine. Some of them, they do not have a sound doctrine. They ask many, for me, really interesting questions. And actually, I feel sad when I heard them to ask this question. They may be Christian for many years, but they do not live in a security. They do not have a comfort in their heart. So there are more and more people in China, they believe in God, they become Christian, but not so much of them really know the grace message, and they still live in a really hard life in the church. So I really want to pray for China, pray for that more mission field will happen in China, and we have more church, great grace church in China. Thank you.
I went to New Zealand and led by Mr. Pat Orsi. This was my first mission trip, so I'm kind of honored to go for, as a first team to go to New Zealand. Basically, we scope out the area and we just hit a lot of towns and they played music and I will hand out these like bracelets and basically we just connect with people, talk to them, ask them how they're doing. And a lot of people are very friendly and they're very open. We're kind of surprised because the younger teenagers are actually listening to what you have to say. New Zealand is so beautiful. It's like unreal how beautiful it is. It's like, I call it like perfect country, but not everything's perfect. So it's like a perfect place to build a church there. So yeah, that's it.
Thank you. Wow. I asked Pastor Adam, remember he said in the beginning that we were in 30 cities? And I asked him if he had counted those four Chinese cities, you know, that we didn't know about. Did we? I didn't know about it. It's funny. You know, could anybody pronounce those cities? in the spring when we decided to, as a church, you know, pray and put this together, that the Lord would do it and send people, and And we had some meetings about it, and Pastor Gary, Pastor Adam, Pastor Shibeli. And then at the end of the summer to see that actually God answered our prayer and many prayers. And it's not over. Isn't that amazing? Thank you, Lord. We're just so honored by God. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Great. So, what time is it? Okay, it's time to preach. Yes. Hey, tomorrow is a holiday. Hey, get out the sleeping bags. Hey. Tomorrow's a holiday. Okay. Would you just take a moment and reflect on something you heard here tonight, and then just you refresh yourself by saying it to your neighbor. What did you hear tonight? What did you see tonight? And just for a moment, chat with your neighbor, hoping it will refresh you. The mime, the testimonies. Okay. In the wrap tonight, there will be the people that want to join the mime group can go in the mother's room. And then how about the folks that were on the stage? If you want, stay after and do a wrap session, and people can ask questions and you can share more right here in this room tonight. So you are welcome. I feel very honored to sense the Spirit in our heart and mind helping people. And I really believe, and I have seen it happen, and I think the people standing on the stage are evidence of people who have been helped. We've all been helped or ministered to. We've all received the Spirit of God by our new birth and a renewed mind, Romans 12:2-3. We've been speaking about detoxing the mind because we know how it can be infected in different ways. And there's a whole world of secular psychology that studies it and talks about it and counsels people. But we have a biblical psychology, and this is really the book of Proverbs, and this is something that we are developing in our work and in our ministry. I believe the book of Proverbs is God's psychology book. It is the book that goes to the heart and mind of a person. And we see how we can get trapped in ways of thinking and not get out of those ways. And because of the shortness of the time, and just I don't think we need to say much, but just to say a few things tonight. Turn to Ephesians 6. And this verse 18. Your mind is the most powerful thing in the universe after God. I love this thought. There is no concept, the highest conception that we have of God. I read some strange theology, and I don't encourage anyone to do it. But there's a little bit of a movement in the liberal world where God does not know everything. That is how they explain the pain in the world, and I think it's so ridiculous. I stopped reading right there, so don't worry about it. But God does not know everything. I think the conception of God is so amazing in the heart. We are wired for believing in God as being the highest, the greatest, the most awesome, the incredible, living God who is everywhere and knows all things. Your mind has one foot in the door of the spirit and one foot in the door of the body. We have an organic brain, and then we have our spirit. And we underestimate, generally in our culture, people underestimate the spirit. But there is a spirit in a man, and if he rules his spirit, he is greater than a man who can take a city, Proverbs 16:32. You can tell once you when you're in the spirit and you focus and you concentrate and you realize the value of your spirit, and your spirit is linked with your mind. And what I am thinking, content of my mind, is this book. So you have me, and then we have this book and my spirit linked with this book. And if this book with my spirit is renewing my mind, then I am in my mind free to imagine. I can think with God. I can imagine, and that imagination is also, it may be real, it could be fantasy, but it could also be reality. Because we have stories in the Bible that we imagine. Jesus walked on water, and that's allowed. I read it, and I can imagine him walking on water like it's hard or it's soft. His feet are this deep in the water, or this deep, or this deep, or he's on top. And this is true. He walked on water. The truth is a mingling. We see the reality in a scientific way, but science is very limited. We have reality by the Spirit, by love. This is the important thing, how I love, because God is love. And love in the mind is healing. Love is in the mind sets someone free. God loves me. I am not condemned. I'm not guilty. I'm not ashamed. I'm not living in fear. I'm not regretting. So, in Ephesians 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. There it is again, in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Have you prayed? Sometimes when I listen to people pray, it sounds more like just a telephone conversation. Yes, how are you doing? Yes, you know. And I'm not analyzing. I'm not saying that. But it's as if, you know, I understand. Okay, that's fine. But have you ever prayed? Why does it say praying in the Spirit? Praying in the Spirit. I believe there is a prayer where the Spirit and the mind of Christ and the focus, the concentration in the Spirit, the decision-making in the Spirit. Have you ever prayed like this? Lord bless, you know, Uncle Bobby and Aunt Julie and and the dog and give me a parking spot when I pull into the mall and I hope my gas oil pressure on my car is okay and all these little kind of prayers and okay fine. But come on. Or I'd say, do you really care about your uncle? Who did I say? What was his name? Uncle what? Uncle Bobby. Do you really care about Uncle Bobby? I go, no, not really. What are those prayers? You know, what are they? What is that? And I'm not saying it to demean anyone or even those small prayers. I'm saying it, however, to provoke our thinking. It says praying with perseverance. So I looked up this word. It means to endure, to remain somewhere, to continue steadfastly with someone, to cleave faithfully to someone, referring to those who continually insist on something or stay close to someone. Used metaphorically of steadfastness and faithfulness in the outgoings of the Christian life, especially in prayer. Those words, insisting, staying on something, persevering in prayer. I like the summer harvest plan because we started in the spring and many of the folks here prayed with perseverance, and we stayed on it, and stayed on it, and people made decisions. And I think of the decisions that are made when someone says, I'm going to Cambodia, you know, and it's a big deal. And these aren't made lightly. There's something about the mind that God gave you and I where we are able to concentrate, be focused, insist, persevere, be determined, say, I'm doing this. I'm doing it. I remember, maybe I've told it before, when my wife and I were living in Bel Air, Maryland. We were helping Dr. Stevens here at the Bible College and in the missions office, and loved being here, and we had a young family. We owned our house. We just bought the house. We just bought the house, and we weren't there 6 months, and the news came on that the East Germans were able to go to West Germany through Hungary on buses. What it meant was communism in Eastern Europe was over. And they couldn't stop the buses from going. So I looked at my wife. I remember where I was. I remember the whole thing. I go, oh, no. We got to go. And my wife was an amazing person. I want to say something about the pastor's wife. It is amazing when the pastor's wife is not in contest with you, when a pastor's wife is behind you and she supports you. And basically, my wife lost her life for the sake of honoring mine. Hey, did you hear that? It's like, whoa, I almost collapsed saying it. I mean, what? What? You know, that's incredible. And like, how could that happen? It must be that she was persuaded in her own mind, because you can't make somebody do that. It must be a calling. It must be that she got some persuasion in her own mind that I'm not going to have. It's not wrong if a woman has a career, and many pastors' wives have careers and full-time jobs and so on in order to help support the pastor in his ministry. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there's something that is amazing about the Spirit in your life. It's amazing. The Spirit in your life. you're able to persevere. Stay on it. Stay on it. This portion in Acts 10:7, faithfully with someone, it goes like this in the story. Cornelius, an angel came and showed Cornelius. Cornelius had, I believe it was, two servants and a soldier. And it said that the soldier waited upon Cornelius like he waited upon him. He stayed upon him. It's like Pastor Dwayne, the way Pastor Dwayne helped Pastor Shabelli when he was in Africa. Pastor Ronaldo, I didn't get to greet you, but great to see you back from Zimbabwe, one of our heroes. Thank you, Lord. Good to have you. I mean, obviously, you know, hallelujah. Okay, so think about it. You know, so then I had one sentence with my wife, Lee. I think we got to go. I think we got to move to Hungary, like now, this year, like this summer. We're going to go. Let's go. And I don't even remember her ever answering me. But she just started to get the luggage out. Just started, and we just started. And we weren't in our house 6 months. Isn't that amazing? Who cares about a house? That's what I could. My wife was like, what? And she didn't. There wasn't any discussion about it. We did it. And we rented out our house, and we went on, and we just, with little children, Justin was 9 years old, Beth and Amy, 13 and 12. And we have family stories there. We put them in a Hungarian public school. And I remember Justin in third grade sitting there, not understanding anything. Hungarian language, just sitting there. I went to the classroom, and I sat in the back of the classroom just to see it, and it was really, really, you know, I don't know, is ridiculous the word? I don't know. I mean, we were finding our way, and our kids were, and the Flints too. They came, Tim and Janet came in their family, and body members came. But I have to say, a team of horses couldn't change my mind. I believed I should go, and I'm not jumping from one thing to the other. But I'm like, there, where is this God? What's his will? And staying on a thing. I think some of the fights that we have in our minds and in our hearts, we give up. And we don't stay on the thing. Staying with God, waiting on God. We give up. We don't persevere. We yield. Oh, it's always going to be this way. I don't have any choice. I don't know. Nothing can happen. I'm a victim. I can't do anything about it. It's over. My life is over. It's a disaster. I give up. It's like, okay, fine. Let's start from ground zero. Who is God? What does he say? Has he given you the Spirit? Can you get it, the Holy Spirit, say something to you and stay there and have that focus? And that Holy Spirit is going to guide you. He's going to comfort you. He's going to feed you. He's going to edify you. He's going to speak to you. He's going to lead you. He has a will for you. You are not a loser. You are more than a conqueror. You are not a victim. Wait upon God. He can take drugs away in a second. I mean, honestly, but I watch. I get careless. I am foolish. Or a woman, or a man, if you're a woman, or whatever, or depression, or whatever. There is no perseverance. Because there is no spirit. There is soulish life and thinking, psychology instead of spirituality. And I am for psychology in the right sense. If you wired those toxic thoughts in your mind, you can wire them out. Just rip them right out. Rip the wires right out. If you got your bad stuff wired in your mind, you also have God's spirit and mind, and you can stay there and get it. And once you get it, sometimes when I get right on it in my heart and in my mind, I start going through pages of the Bible. And actually, I can like just, it's almost like I can flip pages and I got my focus and my concentration. And I'm enjoying it. Now I'm getting like things and thoughts and I'm edified and I'm living in faith and the Spirit is moving in my heart and mind. And I feel very strong in the Spirit. Remember, it says Stephen, they could not resist his wisdom nor his spirit. His spirit, too. But I might have a spirit where, you know, it's kind of like I'm waiting for the Spirit to move me. The Spirit is there. Come on, move with me. How about you hearing me, walking with me? How about you worshiping me, recognizing who I am? I am God. I show you God. But your mind is all over the place. Your mind and heart is in 1,000 places in a minute. And it's like it's too much confusion for the focus. But take a magnifying glass, put it out there in the sun, look for some ants or paper. And just get the light focused in. I photograph, get the light going through the lens. Okay, so that's it, I think. You can overcome feelings of rejection and hurt. Who cares about rejection? Yeah, but you don't know how it hurts. It's like, whatever. That spirit is not in that. So what? You're hurt and you feel bad? That's soulish. Spirit is not in that. Spirit is in God. God is saying, I am God. I dwell in you. I am Christ. You have the mind of Christ. And just make your way out of the feelings of hurt and rejection by a focus and persevere in the prayer and in the waiting on God. And as you get that, your mind is renewed and you just forget about what people say about you or think about you. Remember we had our little church split here a while ago, the little thing, little bump in the road. I mean, and people did get hurt, and I hate those things, and I'm not happy about it at all. At the same time, it's like, who is the Holy Spirit? What is the Bible saying? Who are we? Let's get ready for the real trouble that's coming down the road in the United States of America. Maybe. I don't know. I don't really care about it. Whatever happens, I want to get cared on the I want to take care of the inside and have God's mind and help you and I, and we will help a lot of people and bring healing. And I do not believe there is a lost teenager who couldn't be transformed by Christ in this ministry. I don't believe there's a lost person who couldn't find a whole new life and way of thinking. They could find it in this ministry. But you got to have your own Bible. You got to open it up. You got to get on your knees. You got to wait upon God. You got to believe Him. You and I live in faith and make good decisions by faith and pay attention, and great things will happen in our lives. And it's all happening by God's grace. Okay? Then one more. I guess that's all. Oh, okay. This one. You can balance your overthinking and overanalyzing mind. Balance your overthinking. Sometimes people lay awake at night overthinking overanalyzing, overthinking and overanalyzing. Well, they can switch gears. They can stop it. They have joy, quietness, praise, meditation, wait on God. He gives his beloved sleep. Just slow down, wait on God, don't overthink. Just see what's happening. Don't worry about the future. God will take care of us. He will. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? Well, Lord, many pastors here tonight, their wives are saints of God that have followed you and their husbands in a very edifying way. We could give names. Many women that have said, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm like Jonathan's armor bearer. Jonathan, you decide. I'm with you. Whatever happens, I'm right beside you. I'm with you. That's how come some people don't go far. They don't get hooked up. They don't cleave. Elijah cleaved to Elijah. Joshua was cleaving to Moses. Timothy was right with Paul. And same in our church life. And I praise God for a ministry worldwide where we learn to stay there, wait on, keep our heart and mind, be a helper, be free, be a minister, step out, be available, and wait upon God and persevere in the Spirit. And then if you are here tonight and you don't have Jesus, then tonight's your night. It's a whole new life, believing in Jesus. And tonight's your night. Today's your day. To have all your sins taken away. Say, Jesus, I believe in you tonight. I believe in you. Tonight's my night. I believe in you. Take my sin away and forgive me. And give me this gift of eternal life. And then raise your hand, anyone here. Tonight, anyone at all saying yes to Jesus. And then, Lord, all the lives touched by summer harvest in many countries and many states. We were in Brooklyn, New York on summer harvest, and others in Chicago and Cincinnati and Indianapolis, and it was a great summer. You gave it to us, Lord. You answered our prayers. You sent laborers into the field. They came back bringing their sheaves with them, their stories, their memories, that we stay on in what you're doing. Maybe some young man or woman today wants to get really close and say, I want to wait upon God and persevere in his will. I'm going to see God lead me and God guide me, and I'm going to pray fervently in the Spirit, and pray in the Spirit with supplication in perseverance. Yes, Lord. Be steadfast and immovable in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, our labor is not in vain. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.